And today, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. If you have your Bible and you want to turn there, we will have it up here on the screen momentarily. But the title of today's message is Meet Together. Not M-E-A-T, right? As in eat meat together, but M-E-E-T. That we need to be together. And I just want to share with you, you know, I had the opportunity to be at a really neat youth conference this weekend. And it wasn't just me. Like, our two teenagers went. Bryce and Toby went with me. We had a great time. And, you know, I am so thankful for times when I get to sit in the back of a room like I got to sit last night and to see, I didn't count every head, but at least 75 different teenagers from different churches all around our city gathered together, and even a church that drove in from 6 hours away from Bonnyville, Alberta. I got to see 75 teenagers, and I sat in the back of a room, not much different from this one, at our seminary in Cochrane, and I listened. And I watched. And I got to see these guys standing on their feet, joining together as peers and singing praises to our God. You know, I got to see them do the fun moves to the cool youth songs, you know, that we don't typically do here on a Sunday morning, right? Like, you know, if he says move left, then I move left. And if he says move right, then I'm, you know, talking about obedience to the Lord. But we don't necessarily do that. We do talk about obedience. But it was so much fun. And you know what, part of what made it so much fun is that they were gathering together. And they gathered together for that purpose this weekend. And, you know, some of the youth that had been to this event, they try to have this event every year, and this was our first year to be able to join in. But some of the youth, that they said, okay, if you've been here before, what was special about it? Why did you come back? Why did you like it? And they said, well, I heard from several different youth. They said, well, you know, because we get to be with all these other youth, and not only do we get to hang out, but man, we get to encourage each other, and we get to talk about God together. And, you know, this is once a year we get to connect. I was greatly encouraged by this weekend. I mean, and I'm thankful for encouragement and joy because it makes up for a lack of sleep, right? Because if you have teenagers that are together from Friday night all the way through Sunday morning, there's not a lot of sleeping that goes on. We had a blast. But it was so neat to see them gather together. And this morning, when I talk about, as we look at meeting together, you know, I just want to say, again, this morning you may feel like I'm preaching to the choir a little bit because you're here. And I'm thankful that you're here. But it is vital for us to meet together. And God even tells us in His Word that, you know what, you don't need to neglect that part of your life, because I want to use that in your life. I want to use it to encourage you. I want to use you to encourage other people. And that's where we're going today, meeting together. And getting to be a part of that youth service this weekend was just a great example to me of where we were going this morning already. All right? Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has inaugurated for us through the curtain, that is, His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, when we see that word in verse 19, it starts out with therefore. When you're reading Scripture, if you're reading any kind of literature, but especially if you're reading God's Word and you see the word therefore, you know what a great question is to ask? What's it there for? Right? Because it's talking about something that he talked about a little bit earlier, that the writer of this book, well, God wrote it, but He used men to do it. Something else that we need to understand a little bit before we get there. So when the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, brothers, what he had been talking about is the fact that, you know, used to, back in the day, they had to give sacrifices. They had to sacrifice animals for the forgiveness of sin. And they had to do this year after year after year after year. That there was never that one animal that was good enough, that was pure enough, in order that you could sacrifice that one animal, you could shed that one animal's blood, and it was all good. We never had to do it again. Okay? What the writer of Hebrews tells us is that, you know what? There was never an animal good enough. But God has sent one. God told us He would send one. And He references the book of Jeremiah. And how God says, there's one day is coming that I will write my truth on their heart. I will give them what He calls a new covenant. And He did that when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He did that when he sent His Son into this world to lead a sinless life, to obey everything the Father commanded Him. The one true living God did everything God gave Him, accomplished every task, pleased God in every way. And then He was sent to the cross to die for the sins of this world, for your sin, for my sin, for our neighbors, for our coworkers, for people across an ocean, for people to live 1,000 years ago, for people to live 1,000 years from now, if we see that many years from now. People will never know. He died for them. And then God raised Him again on the third day. If you're a follower of Jesus here, you know that story like the back of your hand, right? And that's why we're here. But He said, when He says, therefore, He says, you know, God said someday He would provide that one sacrifice that was good, that you would nothing again would ever have to be sacrificed. That's what He's referencing. He's talking about Jesus. And He says, therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He has inaugurated for us through the curtain that is His flesh. Okay, when Jesus was put on the cross, if you remember the story, when He breathed His last breath and He said, it is finished. Do you remember what happened in a place called the temple? There was a curtain in there. What happened to it? Ripped, right? It ripped in two. Because back in the day, if we don't know this, back in the day, before the time of Jesus, there were only certain people that could go in to be in the presence of God, okay? And God's presence was in this place called the temple. And there was this big curtain, and only the high priest, only certain people could do it, certain time of the year. And you know, they used to actually tie like a rope to his ankle, that just in case his heart wasn't right, when he went into that place that's called the Holy of Holies, when he went into that place, that he could be struck dead. And so they had a rope tied to his ankle just in case, like, you know, he's supposed to be out 5 minutes ago, so tug on the rope and see if he's okay. That's what it was like. Now, this isn't a mean God. This is just a holy God. And so the high priest, his heart had to be right before he could go into God's presence. And God made a way. What the writer of Hebrews is telling us is that God made a way for us to become each of us that say, I believe that Jesus is who He says He is, that He's done what He came and He said to do, and I want to follow Him all of my days. I would be a follower of Jesus. I confess my sin, ask Him to forgive me. For a follower of Jesus, He calls each and every one of us priests, because we get to dwell in His presence. He sent His Holy Spirit to live within us. This is exciting stuff, right? Like, it could be review for so many of us, but I hope it's review that's exciting. All right. That is His flesh. That Jesus' flesh was given. His flesh was broken. His blood was shed so that we could enter into God's presence with boldness. All right. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Okay, what is he referencing there? When he says our hearts sprinkled clean, it's like what he's talking about is God washed our hearts clean, scrubbed them. There's no more dark spot. There's no more blot. When we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, washed clean. And when he talks about being washed with pure water, it's all imagery here. It doesn't mean that literally you have to take a bath and then, like, just H2O, right? Like, we can't find just H2O. There's all kinds of mineral and all kinds of stuff, and even the stuff we drink here in Calgary, which is some of the best water in all the world, I think, right? Like, what he's talking about is that picture of what we would call baptism and what God calls baptism in His Word. He says, you're washed clean. Says, and it's a picture of what God has done in your heart. Okay? All right. And our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Writer of Hebrews is saying, guys, He's telling his audience, guys, like, be firm. Keep going. Don't waver. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of what God wants to say to you. Don't waver. Okay, and I'm getting to the point here. It says, he who promised is faithful. The one who promised, the one who said, I have provided the final sacrifice. There's no more that needs to be made. My son is enough. He can take away your sin, and only he can take away your sin. Only he can give you true life, and only he can promise you eternal life when this life is over. Be steadfast. Be unwavering. All right, verse 24. Let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. I want to share with you just a quick story. There was a young woman who was, she was from northern Alberta, which I don't know where, but northern Alberta is pretty much anywhere north of Red Deer, right? She was from northern Alberta, and she wanted to drive all the way to Alaska. And so she went by herself in the late fall. Sound like a good idea so far? Great idea. By yourself as a young woman driving to Alaska. So she loaded up her Honda Civic. Also a great idea if you're going to drive all the way to Alaska, right? And so she found out how great of an idea it was when she got to the Yukon. And some of those roads in the Yukon, I've not driven them. I've talked to people that have driven them. Typically not the best roads. In late fall, she goes and she finds a hotel, and it's somewhere high up in elevation. And she reserves a hotel room, and she asks the front desk for a wake-up call at 5 a.m., thinking, okay, this is a great idea. I want to get an early start on the day. And when she told the clerk that she would like a 5 a.m. wake-up call, he kind of looked at her funny, and she didn't know why he was looking at her funny. You know, she thought, I don't know, do I have dinner on my face or what, right? She went to bed, and when she got up the next morning, she figured out why this clerk had such a funny look on his face. Because the entire area was socked in with such an incredibly thick, soupy fog, and it's like they knew every single morning, you don't even want to think about driving until a certain time of day when that fog has had time to burn off. And so, wanting to save face a little bit, like she knew what she was doing all along, she just goes to the diner and goes in and sits down. She's going to have breakfast and just kill time. And when she walks in to an almost deserted dining room, these two truckers are sitting there, and they invite her to join them. She's like, okay, awkward, but let's have breakfast. I don't know you. You don't know me. Let's have breakfast. So they said, join us. And they begin to talk with her, and they said, is that your Civic out there? She said, yeah. I said, okay, where are you going? She said, oh, I'm going to Alaska. I'm on this great adventure, and I'm really excited about it. And they just looked at her and just, you know, kind of smiled and trying to humor her. But then they didn't know quite how to break it to her. They said, okay, so who's with you? She said, oh, nobody. I'm by myself. Not a great thing to tell maybe two truckers on, you know, that I don't know, but I'm by myself. And then the one trucker looked at the other, and they knew exactly what they needed to do. And then he looked at her and he said, all right, we're going to need to hug you. Pardon me? Right? He said, no, I don't mean literally hug you, like as in wrap our arms around you. Not that kind of hug. I mean, we're going the same direction. So what we're going to do is one of us is going to get in our big rig. We're going to drive in front. You're going to follow him. And the other guy's going to get right behind you. And we're going to clear a path all the way through the pass. So we're going to hug you. Okay? And so she did. She got in her little Civic and she got right behind the one truck. And the other truck got right behind her just to make sure that she was okay, didn't get in trouble. And she followed those red taillights all the way through the fog. Point of the story. Man. She didn't need to do that trip alone. She didn't need to try to go. She didn't know the soup and the fog were coming, but those guys knew it was coming, and they knew how to navigate through it. She didn't need to do the trip alone. She needed somebody who had been there before, somebody to go with her, right? Even if there was nobody that had been there before, it would have been a good idea just to have another person or two with her, another car or two, maybe a better vehicle. When the writer of Hebrews says, let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Guys, we've been given the privilege of coming into the presence of God with boldness, with confidence. Right? We've been given that privilege, and we've been given the privilege of especially maybe living in a country where we're free to do this together on a weekly basis. We can come and we can sing the praises of God. We can open His Word. We can pray together, and we don't have to fear government officials knocking down the door and saying, "All right, if you don't renounce your faith, you're going to jail or worse." We don't face that. But Christ has provided a way for us to have an audience with God. And God has designed us to do this together. He's designed us to do it as a family. He's designed us to hug, okay? He's designed us to say, "You know what? Been through this before. Let's go together." Right? "I'll help you navigate through this soupy stuff." He says, "Let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works." Some translations say, instead of let us be concerned with one another, some translations say encourage one another. And encourage literally is to lift up. A couple weeks ago we talked about the difference between looking out for each other and looking into each other. Right? If you weren't here with us, we talked about the difference between looking out for each other and looking into each other. When we look into someone, we are looking to see where they've messed up so we can rub their face in it, so we can just say, "Okay, you're bad, I'm good, I'm better than you." That's looking into somebody. Looking out for somebody, saying, I only have your best in mind, and I know I'm not perfect either, but I just want to help you in any way that I can. When he says, "Let us be concerned about one another and about one another in order to promote love and good works," let's look out for each other. Let's say, "You know, I know you don't know it yet, but the road you're on is dangerous. The road you're on, you don't need to do it alone. You need somebody to walk with you." Looking out for each other. Encouraging one another on to love and good deeds. You know, this weekend, again, it was so neat to be. We broke up into small groups, and small groups of young men and small groups of young women. And to be in the group with these young men and to hear them talk about. You know, it's just good to be around other Christians. To hear them talk about it, it's just good to see that there's other people my age that care about this stuff. And some that were convicted to say, "You know what? I mean, I show up on Sunday and I know how to look. I know what to say. But man, I know my life looks way different the other 6 days of the week." And to see them ask their peers, "Would you mind helping me fix that?" Let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. Not staying away from our meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other. Man, it's not a guilt trip to say you better be in church or else, right? He says what we're supposed to be about, if we're walking through this life together, man, that we should be looking forward to coming together on Sunday mornings. And not just Sunday mornings, but man, getting together maybe for a coffee every once in a while, getting together in a life group with other men and women, to say, "You know what, I don't have it all figured out, you don't have it all figured out, but let's go together." He says, don't stay away from our meetings. Again, not trying to tell people, "You know what, if I don't see you in church, I'm going to give you the biggest guilt trip you've ever had. You thought your mom was good at guilt trips? I am the king of guilt trips." That's not what he's saying. He says, "I want you to be encouraged every week. I want you to be sent out from this place challenged, encouraged, and knowing that you have other people around you that can help go in front of you, maybe come behind you, surround you as you walk with Christ, as you walk in relationship with Him, and as we meet together, that we would be encouraged by one another." And you know the word that he uses for encourage there, but encouraging each other? You know, don't avoid the meeting, but come together and encourage one another. When he uses that word, he uses it in such a way, in the tense that doesn't come across in English so much, but the tense that he uses there, it's an active tense. It means you go encourage people. Don't wait for somebody to come and encourage you, right? And sometimes we just need encouragement. I get that. But don't just sit there every week and wait for somebody to come and say, "You know what? I went to church for 8 weeks and nobody walked up to me and just encouraged me." Man, God tells us that we need to be seeking out opportunities to encourage others. And that He's going to put on the hearts of others to come and encourage us. This is supposed to be a mutual relationship. Meet together, South Winds. And I want to say, I'm so glad that we, when we look at the text like this, then when I'm studying and trying to prepare, that I can think, you know, Lord, I'm so thankful. Because people do come, and I think they are encouraged. I think they do walk together. But you know what? I think we can do better. I think we can meet together and encourage one another better. And I think maybe if you're sitting here this morning, you think, you know what? Like, I know he's talking about meeting together, and I'm here, and I'm in. But man, I haven't seen so-and-so for a couple weeks. Maybe I should give him a call. That is a great thought. Can I just tell you, that's a great thought that you just had. You didn't know you had it, but you just had that thought. If there's somebody you haven't seen for a week or two, I mean, maybe send them an email. Just say, you know, I've been missing you. Wanted you to know. Just wanted you to know I've been missing you, right? Remember, don't guilt. Encourage. Maybe you don't know of anybody that's been missing for a couple weeks. Maybe start to look around for the first time and try to get a feel for who's here, who's in the room. And then ask God, Lord, would you help me to notice if somebody isn't here for a couple weeks? Maybe they need a phone call. Maybe they need an email from me. I know we talked about this 5 weeks ago, but you know what? It's worth talking about again. Do you know why? If you've been to South Winds maybe before, or if you've been here for a little while, you may have noticed, if I didn't move it, I probably wouldn't have noticed, but you may have noticed that this partition wall that you usually right here, it would be right in front of me, it's been knocked down. Did you notice that? A little bit different look this morning. Yeah, right. No, I didn't, right? Most of the men are like, nope, no clue, right? Just because we observe different things. If there was a brand new car parked in the parking lot, man, we'd totally be all over that, right? But we knocked this wall down for a couple of different reasons. We knocked it down because, you know, praise God, the number of chairs we've been setting out, we've been hitting about that 80% rule. And what they say is when you hit 80% capacity, when the kids are in here, when there's 80% capacity, you need to start setting out a few more chairs. Man, praise God, we need to start setting out a few more chairs. Anyone else? Seeing a room that has a bit more space in the back, you know what? That's a great thing to do. It's a great thing to remind us that there's room to grow. Great thing to remind us there's room. There's room that if those people that have a hard time maybe getting here on Sunday morning, that they need some encouragement, that we can encourage them. And you know what? They got a place to sit. Important thing. That our neighbor that we've been talking to and praying for, our coworker that we've been talking to and praying for, and trying to talk with them about the Lord, about Jesus, there's room for them. Number three. You'll see a few chairs. You can turn around, look if you want, but there's a few chairs right by the fireplace. And when we sing our song at the end of every service, when we are meeting together, and we are meeting together to encourage one another and to be encouraged and to hear God speak, coming together to be in the presence of the one who provided a way for us to be in His holy presence through His Son, when we're doing that and we're praying that God will speak to us, that He'll move in our hearts in a very special way, that if you need to talk with somebody, if you need to pray with somebody, that you can do it during that last song, you can do it immediately after the service is over. I mean, you can call somebody later if you want, but if you need to respond now, that there will be people in the back of the room right by the fireplace to receive you every Sunday. And I would encourage you. Then when the writer of Hebrews says, let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good deeds, that we want you to know we're concerned about you. And we want to exhort you to love and good deeds. So there's going to be people in the back every Sunday that are there just to listen to you, that are there just to pray with you and help you sort through maybe what God is saying to you. We would encourage you to respond. And literally respond. Like, get up out of your seat. When God prompts your heart, get up out of your seat and go back there. You know, nobody's going to be staring at you. You know what? It's not about that. Even if somebody was staring, it's not about that. It's about saying, God, I need to respond, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to do that. We want to make sure you know that that's available, and we wanted to create some space to be able to do that. So praise God that He's building His church. Praise God that He wants to work in the hearts of His people.